You gotta dip your chicken strips. Hey, this is Keani.
And this is Tabitha.
And a little thing we love about Chick-fil-A chicken strips
is all the different sauces we can dip them in. I like to line up all my favorite sauces so that in every bite, I have a different flavor. Then with the tenderness of the chicken, the juiciness of it, it's all there.
And for me, I like to mix my sauces so I get a little tang and I get a little sweetness all in one bite.
That's what makes it for me. Like, that's what does it for me.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
This is Secret Clinical Dominating Extra Stinky Stress Sweat. And this is regular deodorant. Secret Clinical in a heat wave.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
This is regular deodorant.
Ugh, I can't.
Secret Clinical with workout sweat.
Let's run another marathon.
And regular deodorant.
How much more?
Secret is the goat. Because nothing fights sweat better.
Stay fresher under pressure.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A meeting with Justice Department and Ghislaine Maxwell, her attorney, has concluded. The former girlfriend and accomplice of Jeffrey Epstein was convicted of sex trafficking and is appealing her case.
Emerging from a second day of talks between his client and the deputy attorney general, Ghislaine Maxwell's defense lawyer said the convicted sex trafficker didn't hold anything back.
She was asked maybe about 100 different people. She answered questions about everybody.
David Marcus said while there's been no request for clemency on his client's part and no promises made.
Of course, everybody knows Ms. Maxwell would welcome any relief.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
President Trump earlier told reporters he has not thought about a pardon, but didn't rule it out. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis says Homeland Security deportation flights began this week at the Everglades new migrant facility, also so-called alligator Alcatraz. And stocks are up in afternoon trading. This is ABC News. One person is dead, another injured at the University of New Mexico. Mexico State Police say that they confirm that the shooting at the Casas de Rio students' housing complex took place. One person was found dead, another with non-life-threatening injuries, and that caused them to have a lockdown at the campus for some time. A well-known artist has pulled out of an exhibit at the Smithsonian.
Amy Sherald is best known for painting Michelle Obama's portrait at the National Portrait Gallery, and she was supposed to be the focus of a major exhibit next month at the Smithsonian. But when discussions began about removing her painting of a trans Statue of Liberty, she pulled out, citing political hostility towards trans lives, saying, "I cannot in good conscience comply with a culture of censorship, especially when it targets vulnerable communities." Last month, President Trump fired the head of the National Portrait Gallery, calling her a highly partisan person.
ABC's Sherry Preston. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Tony Evers won't run for a third term as Wisconsin's governor.
Evers dropping the news in a video posted to his social media accounts.
For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe it to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a third term. I'm so humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had.
The 73-year-old waited until work on a state budget was completed before announcing his decision.
At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
There could be a crowded field of Democrats hoping to succeed Governor Evers.
Attorney General Josh Call, former Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski have all been mentioned as political candidates or indicated an interest in running. Two Republicans are already running for governor, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and corporate CEO and former Navy SEAL Bill Berrien. Other Republicans could also enter the race. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A group of juveniles arrested following an altercation on the UW-Madison campus.
UW-Madison police responded Wednesday night to a report of a disturbance involving 7 to 10 people at Memorial Union Terrace. An investigation revealed the incident stemmed from an earlier incident involving two groups. Police said one suspect used pepper spray on members of the other group and at least one punch was thrown. One person was cited for disorderly conduct, underage alcohol consumption, and assaultive behavior. Police are continuing to investigate and are looking for more suspects. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Let's say you're presented a stock which yields a guaranteed 82% return. You'd put your money in it, right? That magical stock is called Farm Radio, and for our advertisers, it is pure gold. 82% of farmers listen to their trusted farm radio station at least 4 days a week. The moral of the story? Farm Radio pays dividends, and both the listener and the advertiser lived happily ever after. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine from smoke, a high today in the mid-80s, little humid. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows dropping to the upper 60s. Shower and storm chances return for the weekend. Partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s to 90. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 80.
The grain market stumbled into the end of the week with corn, soybeans, soy products, all three flavors of wheat, and even cotton trading to the downside. Lean hog futures were mixed, but the cattle market did not disappoint and closed higher to wrap up the week.
Live, staggering into the end of the work week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Jeff Peterson from Heartland Farm Partners. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, everybody. You know, it's a report day, and we talked about it.
Yep.
Cattle and feed report this afternoon, cattle inventory report. And I don't know if it is their problem or my problem, but I am having difficulty getting into the USDA cattle on feed report and the cattle inventory report. So
I've already reached out to my people to try and get a hold of the link or something similar to that. Let your handsome sidekick take care of it. Rest your mind. Rest it easy. I'll get it for you. I'll forward it directly, my brother.
Maybe the producer can help.
Perhaps. Oh. Perhaps he's a talented fellow.
Could help.
Actually, I'm just playing a small role because maybe our guest analyst can help. And if we check the chat, we may have something we're looking for. Thank you.
That's Joe Stackler, everyone. Joe Stackler.
All right. Very good. Very good. We will get to the info there as quick as we can. A little warm, but not terrible hot. Okay. We're still sitting at about, let's see, what is it? Well, it's 84 degrees now, and it's starting to get warmer by the moment out there, it feels like. So, Davis,
yeah,
I'm kind of glad this week is done.
I am too.
And, you know, and the thing is, here I am, I'm scratching my head trying to figure out why this corn market just didn't want to respond. Just absolutely did not want to respond to anything that was going on, anything that was being talked about out there. And as a result, we ended up with some losses on the week. Bean market, kind of the same deal. We had trade deals that got done. Markets didn't want to respect it. We're going to talk with Jeff, try to figure out where this lack of respect for some of the market factors that are either, you know, out there or developing, and why hasn't the market responded to it? So we will remind, look forward to the conversation.
We started, I think it's every day. I didn't go check. But I think we started every day talking the National Weather Service forecast, which started with, and these are, that's not my word, I'm just pulling it, dangerous temperatures. Right. You would think that would do something, but there's also been plenty of rain. Is it as simple as there's just been too much rain?
Yeah, it may be. It may be, and we will definitely talk to Jeff about that. Okay.
You bet.
All cows and heifer, no, I want to go up a little bit further than that. All cattle and calves in the United States on July 1, 2025, 94.2 million head, 1% below the 95.4 million head on July 1, 2023. So it's a 2 year ago comparison. Trade was looking for a 1.9% decline there. Let's see if I can find it in the during the news, I will continue to go through this, and we'll see if we can pull some of the details for you.
Lane Acree sent it on over. Thanks, Lane.
That's right. Yep.
Here we go. The annual Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat Tour found an average North Dakota wheat yield of 49 bushels per acre. That's down from last year's record 54.5 bushels, but above the five-year average of 44.6 bushels per acre. Dry conditions in the northern half of the state pulled yields downward. Spring wheat futures started Monday near the week's high and ended today at a new contract low. The trend in soft red winter wheat futures was mostly sideways this week. September futures touched 540 in each of the past four sessions. September hard red winter wheat futures 2 cents lower, 526.5. September SRW wheat down 3.25 cents to 538.25. September spring wheat closed at 584.75. That's down 0.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, on the week, September soft red winter wheat futures down 8 cents, September HRW futures down 2.5, and September spring wheat futures were down 10.75 cents.
Well, progress in negotiating trade deals ahead of the August 1 deadline was a positive for the corn market this week, as were a series of daily export sales announcements. In fact, this morning, USDA reported the sale of 103,000 metric tons of new crop corn to Mexico and the sale of 140,000 metric tons to South Korea. Both countries have been in talks with the U.S. about trade, and the sale to South Korea is viewed as a sign that good progress has been made. Pollination issues in the Midwest dominated social media this week, but it did little to actually support prices. The Crop Protection Network also confirmed more detections of tar spot and southern rust. Southern rust now been confirmed in 36 of Iowa's 99 counties. But that didn't do much to support corn prices this week either. December corn traded at 420 each day this week, and today posted an inside day with a high range open and a low range close. September corn futures today 2.25 lower, 399.5. December corn down 1.75, 419. March futures closed at 436.5, down 1.75 cents, Chip.
September corn on the week down 9 cents, and D's corn down 8.75. So not even a lot of spread movement in that market.
Soybean disease issues also began to pop up with SDS and white mold reports on social media, but the bean market shrugged it off and drifted lower throughout the week. Crop watchers note disease issues are isolated, and they say growing conditions are generally good across the Corn Belt. November soybeans are finding support at 10.20, and today rejected trade below that level. Soybean meal was a weight on the bean market, but soybean oil futures helped to limit selling. Bean oil prices were lower today, but August futures posted a new contract high close yesterday. Malaysian palm oil prices were lower overnight to pull bean oil prices lower. August beans 5.5 cents lower at 9.98¾. Sept beans down 3.75, 10.02. November beans closed at 10.21, down 3.25 cents.
Okay, on the week, August soybeans down 29 cents. That felt heavy all week. Yeah. November beans down 14.75. So look at the spread movement there. August bean oil on the week was up 67 points, and August soybean meal on the week down $6.20.
December cotton started the week with a sell-off, got those losses back at midweek, and then gave up the gains again today. December cotton today was 48 points lower, 68.23, Chip.
Yeah, on the week, December cotton down 45 points.
Well, heavyweight choice graded boxed beef values dropped about $6 this week, but tight cattle supplies helped futures work higher again this week. Today, August live cattle 67.5 higher, 226.47.5. The October contract up a buck to 223.15. August feeder futures $2.47.5 higher at 331.37.5. And lean hog futures were mostly lower, even with the cash index trending higher and solid pork cutout prices. August hogs were 50 cents higher, 108.70. October down 50 cents, 90.60. Chip.
On the week, August live cattle up $2.92.5. August feeder cattle up $7.37.5. August lean hogs up $2.22.5. And we got a bullish cattle on feed report. Inventory on July 1 down 1.59%. The trade was looking for down 0.8. Placements in June down 7.9%. Trade was looking for down 2. And marketing's down 4.42%. Trade was looking for down 3.6. Bullish. We've got Jeff Peterson coming up next.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other with a lot of help from DAV.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
When the game is aligned, champions...
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
You are invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th, for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment and innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are scheduled dairy tours, field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th. Bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
All right, a couple of other details from the cattle inventory report. The beef replacement heifers came in at 3.7 million head, down 3% from 2 years ago. That was right in line with trade expectations at down 3%. the all cows and heifers that have calved, 38.1 million head, 1% below 2 years ago. I don't think there's any big surprises in the cattle inventory report, but that monthly cattle on feed report definitely held some surprises there, no doubt.
Sure.
No doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring him in. We've got Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, with us this afternoon. Jeff, it is good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Doing really good. It's always great talking to you guys.
Yep. Glad that you are here. Hey, the market just felt heavy. The grain markets just felt heavy all week, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I was actually hoping yesterday, you know, to me it had a decent close, even though we, you know, had a little pressure there, but we had a decent close on that market. And I thought maybe we could come into today and actually pull something together. But, you know, the selling pressure just is right on top of it. And with the weather, it's really interesting to see what a difference. You think about going home last Friday, you know, and just what we're going to see for the potential. You got a ridge out there that's popping up and a little bit of, you know, buying short covering going into the weekend. And, boy, we came into Monday and it's just been, you know, putting pressure on it ever since.
Yeah. I mean, it was just another Monday morning. And because it's kind of become the routine in this market, hasn't it?
It really has. And this is tough, you know, as you look at just from the fundamental side. We know as we dig into the stocks to use ratios and stuff, we're undervalued. We know that that's on the U.S. basis and also on the world basis. We know we've got some pretty tight stocks overall, but we're fine. And I think that's the key to it, is that there's enough stocks out there in enough places, and we've got a big crop. And I think that's the thing that probably I underestimated a little bit. You get this big crop coming from South America, so there's going to be bushels here that are available out there. And we're going to be competing with those bushels for quite a while. And then you come back to the weather situation. And the weather, yes, there's warm conditions, and yes, there's overnight warm temperatures above 70, some even above 75. So have we taken a little bit off the yield? Well, we sure have, but none of us know exactly where we're starting from. And so I think as a result of that, you got to go back and say, all right, it's about the money flow, and it's ultimately about the fund positions, and they've continued to want to be a seller of this market. Now, what we're going to have to watch, though, on the corn side, it was about this time last year when they came in and they started quietly buying back. So we're going to have to watch those open interest numbers really close to see if that's the type of thing they're going to do again this year. I think the timing's going to be a little different, but they eventually will, we know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and last year it was about a month from now when we finally put a low into the corn market, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And what worked out perfect for them last year is they were able to start buying back, and they actually bought back about 100,000 contracts. And believe it or not, the market just continued to drift lower. And the reason for that is because the farmer was so undersold on that old crop that the farmer was selling it and they were able to buy it. And now, granted, they didn't get out of all their position, but they were able to get out a portion of it before the market started working up higher on them.
Yeah. Okay. What role are the funds playing in the corn market right now, Jeff?
Yeah, they're playing a big role. And if you go back and look at it, I'd say we go all the way back to those highs we were putting in February. Ever since then, I mean, they've really been, for the most part, selling this market off. And that's what really, I think, surprised a lot of people, that ultimately we just continue to see any little bounce, they'll sell it. Any little bounce, they sell it. And so, yeah, they've been playing a big role. But they'll also at some point in here bottom. I think it'll be later than what we saw last year because we, you know, by last year, we're already seeing some of the bottoming. But, you know, we definitely are wanting to watch that position very closely because once they do turn, if there could be some type of spark, you know, could that be ultimately we reach that point on the yield side and now we're hearing as you get the scouts out in the field, as we hear, you know, your guys' results later in August, as you start hearing some of that, or some trade, maybe we get something with China that comes together that helps, you know, get them buying. So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. It was good to see Mexico and South Korea both show up in the corn overnight, wasn't it?
Oh, it really was. You know, if you sit there and look at that, South Korea had been in the corn market. They were there yesterday. Now, I'd rather had the original announcement yesterday that it was China. but that didn't happen. But, yeah, to see them in and to see them buying, you know, and as you dig in on the export side, it sure looks like, you know, based off what our numbers show, when we look at the export and sales that we got from this past Thursday, you know, that takes us over the top now. We've now hit the target that USDA had. So now anything additional is going to go ahead and start pulling away from the ending stocks. And it sure looks like this is going to go down on record to be the largest amount of exports that we've had on the corn side.
We started the year, Jeff, with everybody just so skeptical about what corn demand was going to be. And like you said, here we are. It's going to be a record export year. And I don't feel like the corn market has respected it. Well, maybe that's why we've got a record year, because the corn market hasn't respected it.
Well, and this is always the tough one. One of the things that I'd say is this market's changing. You know, ever since I've been in the business, I've been very focused on the fundamentals. And that's, at the end of the day, we know that's very important. But the difference we're seeing in the markets is that because of the computerized trading, it is behaving differently than what it has in the past. And as a result of that, it requires us all to look at the market just a little bit different. And ultimately, the big thing you run into is that when the funds start selling and you start seeing these markets pull back, and when we have such a large amount of bushels coming out of South America, that gets to be a big change that makes what we'd normally look for different stocks to use positions and percentages, it makes those behave differently than we'd expected in the past.
Yep. Jeff, what you just said is exactly why I'm surprised we didn't get a rally out of the corn market this week. When you look at all the pollination problems that were talked about on social media, the reports of southern corn, southern rust in the corn crop, the tar spot reports and everything, you know the computer saw that. You know that they were, you know, scanning the social media to take that stuff in, and it didn't trigger the buying that I thought it might. I was surprised.
Yeah, I would agree. If we think about that and take it a step deeper, first step is to recognize it. The second thing I think they're really doing a lot of analysis on is they're looking at it and saying, okay, is how big of a deal is it? So they're taking it back into the models, but they're also looking at on social media, they realize, and I'm not in no way discounting any of those factors, but they realize that you can take certain items and they all of a sudden can start getting a lot more traction than maybe they deserve. And I'm not saying that's the case with the tightly wrapped on the tassels or even on any on the southern rust at all, but I think that also comes into play too.
Yeah. Does the southern rust got you worried? I mean, you remember the last time that southern rust really hammered us, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's been interesting, so actually in Nebraska, southern rust was really bad last year for us.
Okay.
And for those fields that they didn't treat, you know, you were seeing some pretty big yield reductions. And so as it's moving in here, you know, we know we're showing it in Nebraska. Obviously, there's lots of parts. It's over in Iowa. You know, it's showing up in a broad way. But the thing about it will be is that, you know, the thing that concerns me a little bit this year is that will guys treat? Now, if the crop looks good and they're really trying to focus on it, they need to treat for it. It can have a big impact. But the other thing I'd say is that if they get out there and treat it, it also won't be have as big an impact as we might think, though.
Right. That's a great point. And I think it's important to remember that guys have become much more aggressive in managing for those diseases. Once they show up, let's go get it and get it taken care of. Well, and just their management style, management abilities there. They can get out there and get more done in a short period of time. You know, with the drones and everything, they can spot spray the stuff and take out some of those issues, can't they?
Oh, yeah, and they can do it very quickly. You're exactly right. And I think a lot of the things that you just mentioned, I think, are the things that the market's looking at. I also think the market's looking at the forecasts that we've had and the amount of rainfall that we've had, mm-hmm. and ultimately even the temperatures. And even though there's been hot spots, I think they look at it and go, okay, but we're taking that away from a very big yield. I think that's what the market's looking at.
Yep. And I still, you know, your point about the rain, I think is spot on. They, the rain seems to be overshadowing any of the heat issues out there right now. All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, next here on Agriculture.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where September HRW wheat futures were 2 cents lower at 526.5. September soft red wheat down 3.25 cents to 538.25. September corn futures 2.25 cents lower at 399.5. December corn down 1.75 cents to 419. August soybeans 5.5 cents lower at 998.75. Novi beans close at 1021, down 3.25 cents today. East cotton 48 points lower, 68.23. Livestocks, August fat cattle 67.5 cents higher at 226.47.5. August feeders, look out, $2.47.5 higher, 331.37.5. And August lean hog futures 50 cents higher at 108.70. Get more, simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
You say you'd never. The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast. You gotta love the hometown guys.
Make sure your vehicle starts in the heat with a new MVP Platinum battery from Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center in Durand. Now through August 31st, save $25 on FVP Platinum batteries or $15 on FVP Volt Edge AC Delco and Motorcraft batteries. Your partner's network car care center is Adams Super Service, downtown Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Hazy sunshine from smoke, a high today in the mid-80s, little humid. For tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows dropping to the upper 60s. Shower and storm chances return for the weekend. Partly sunny and highs in the mid-80s to 90. Looking for a great place to live, shop, stay, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now it's 80.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners, out in eastern Nebraska. How are things looking out your way, man?
You know, overall, the crops are looking really good, Chip. You know, we were actually right in and around Lincoln. We've been a little drier than what they have been, say, in northeast Nebraska. You know, you go about 60 miles north of here, and as I was looking at some of that Iowa mesonet data, there's a district up there that would be around Sioux City and southwest of there that, you know, it's the wettest the July they've had going all the way back to 1893. And, you know, that's that same band. It carries all the way across Iowa, and then you kind of got a north and south. It does go a little bit further north there. So overall, we're actually looking pretty good out here. It's never perfect. You never have that everywhere. But, you know, we're looking good. But we're going to have to control the disease pressure. Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Storm damage out in Nebraska. I've seen some reports of it, but there's always some of that, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. And, you know, we probably got past some of our – there was a concerning time in there. You know, you look back a couple weeks ago, yeah, 2.5 weeks ago, the crop was really growing. That's usually a time we've got a lot of concern about the green snap side.
Yep.
But, you know, once we get to tassel and that really that stock is firmed up, you know, we get past a lot of that. But, yes, there definitely has been another year where we've had wind. There's been hail, definitely. But overall, I'd say we're pulling together a good crop.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, we kind of chuckled about China showing up on the daily export sales announcement for corn yesterday and then having to be corrected. But they certainly have not shown up to book many new crop beans yet, have they?
No, they haven't. And that is, you know, if we sit back and think about it, that doesn't surprise me too much. It was about this time last year when they did come in and they started buying. But China's going to do what it can to physically get the cheapest beans. So let's just roll back time and look at, well, this past year's bean crop was bigger than the year before. So when you look at that on a monthly basis, they can go longer before they get beans. The other thing that surprised me a little bit is their profitability that's going on in their swine industry. And I guess they must have just expanded too much. So, you know, you're seeing the same reports I am. They're wanting to pull back on the amount of sow numbers. They're wanting to go ahead and limit their slaughter weights. But, Chip, the one that really confuses me a lot is as they start talking about wanting to reduce the amount of soybean meal that they're using in their ration, I'm going,
yeah,
you know, that's been just a proven way of using a corn soybean ration that's going to really perform well and great, give you great conversions. But then they're talking about wanting to go back and introduce some, you know, food scrap and that. And I'm going, no, wait a minute. That's exactly how they ended up with the problem on the swine fever to begin with.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's something to watch, and I don't know how much of this is actually what they're going to do or how much of this is part of their whole negotiation process, yeah, to walk the market down. Because if you really think about it, they can step in at any time they want and get the futures price that they want. But they know that they swing a big enough stick, they can talk the market down. But the big one that we're watching very closely gets to be this the demand for this fall and what that's going to mean for basis levels. They know if they wait long enough in here, eventually we'll start seeing elevators will start backing their basis off, processors will back their basis off. Then that means that a lot of the commercials, as they offer beans out to them, will be offering beans out at a cheaper level. So, I mean, that's something that we're watching very, very close right now. And it's a concern as we come into this fall.
Yeah. Okay. You know, another one that's confusing on top of everything that you just talked about is China opening up soybean meal trade with Argentina. What happened to their crushers? What happened to reducing demand for soybean meal? It's kind of a head scratcher.
It is, and as I've sat there and thought about it, that exactly, they've had two purchases now. You know, the last one is 30,000 metric tons. So not big amounts, but the fact that they're doing it. But I think what we see, it's also another signaling. It's a way to signal the market that, hey, we're going to do whatever we need to do to physically reduce our reliance on any one particular country. And when they say that, they don't say particular country. They mean the United States. And right. So in my mind, they're doing everything they can to try to talk that market back down. We know that they can't get everything that they need from Brazil. We know that this past year there was probably a little over 800 million bushels that on the bean side that did go from the U.S. to them. They need our timing, and they also need those bushels. Now, if for some reason they think that they can expand production enough down in South America at some point, or if they think that they can continue to try to develop additional ground and bring that in on some of the stuff that they're doing over in South Africa. But no, it's typical, I guess, what we see coming out of China, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. The buyers are sticking around in the bean oil, aren't they?
It has been the very bright spot that you really look at that whole complex. And if you look at a chart and you bring that up, man, it just keeps walking higher. Yeah. And you know, you look back and you see the RVO, and we're working our way through the public comment period on that. And then I think the market got some confidence in saying, okay, USDA, if you think about in the last WASDE report, how much they reduced the amount of soybean oil that we're going to be shipping out. And finally, from the export side back to looking at, we're going to end up needing a lot of soybean oil. And then as you start seeing some of the stuff you did in the big, beautiful bill that starts addressing some of the, okay, where's the source of some of these different, you know, fat sources that we're going to use. And when you bring all that stuff together, yeah, that makes it very positive on the soybean oil side.
Yeah. All right. What role does wheat have in this market right now? It just feels like, you know, that market has gotten too negative. Based on mobile S&Ds?
It really has. And, you know, this week's a prime example. You look at, we had, export sales, 712,000. Yeah. We're running ahead of last year's pace, 11.5%. But at this time, the market looks at that and says, you know what? It's the wrong time of year. We really don't care at this point. And there's even some more problems showing up across the world. You know, you take a look and go over to Ukraine. With the way that war's been going on, there's always some questions on how much they're going to be able to get shipped out. And they've done amazingly well to ship out, you know, wheat and corn for that matter. But there is definitely some dryness that's showing up in the southeast part of Ukraine. We know that there's been, you know, dryness that was in a couple of main producing areas over there in Russia. And we know that this past week, that Russian wheat market's just been on a tear, working its way higher on the stuff that's being offered out on the export side. Now, I think that's getting about ready to roll over. But the strange part about all that is it just hasn't translated back into any strength here in the U.S. And I think if you dig into it and look at it, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're talking the Minneapolis wheat or you're talking the Kansas City wheat or the Chicago wheat, you've got the funds in a short position. And they just still continue to just sell into these markets. And it just has not allowed really that market to come back up. You dig in and in particular, look at the Kansas City December. There's a sharp downtrend line that we just keep bouncing up against. A couple days ago, we tried to break through it, reversed it. And now the last couple days, we've just been bouncing up to it and getting rejected.
Yeah. All right. Dollar got anything to do with that, Jeff?
Well, the dollar, you know, I don't think we've had a little bit of strength coming around through the dollar. I think what it comes down to, I hate to say it, but we've got enough wheat here in the U.S. and there's still enough wheat across the world, and that they're just not willing to get excited about where we're positioned. We've just got enough supply at this time.
Okay. All right. So conversations with your clients on risk management and maybe some things to be thinking about right now, what do they sound like?
Yeah, I'd say at this time of year, the big thing to go through, you know, everybody's very concerned about where prices are at. The feel we have from a lot of the new people we're talking to, they've got a fair amount of old crop yet. On hand, and more so on the corn side than the bean side, but they've done a much better job than they did last year. On the new crop side, though, overall, what we're hearing is that I'd say sales are kind of light, and I get that on the bean side, very little sales have been made, and I think most of that was just based off where the price is at. And the common theme would be is they just don't want to sell at a loss. Now, as we go forward, I think we will get some better prices on corn than we have here, but I also, Chip, don't think we've seen our lowest number yet. So for any bushels that a person's going in to harvest with, just make sure you've got a good plan with those. Even if you end up having to sell some in this area and here, compared to where price could go, have a robust enough marketing plan that if conditions change down the road, you can always come back in and defend that and do something with that. And that's one of the things that I think I'm really seeing this year is that we've got individuals that don't want to make a sale because they're afraid that that's over at it. And it's like everything else. We just got to enlarge our marketing plan and bring more tools into it so that we can be comfortable making sales. But then if things do change down the road, still be able to come back and defend it and know that when we make that sale, that's not it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Stay flexible. Be willing to work with what the market might give us later. Any thoughts on new crop, the 26 crop? You thinking of doing anything there?
Well, I like doing something back when we were in that 470 area. As we're sitting here today, you know, just a little bit over the 450 area, I'm willing to be patient a little bit here yet. But I think here soon, you know, if we can get a little bit of a bounce, because what we're going to have to start really crunching the numbers on is, you know, what's going to end up happening on these acres out there. You know, we're going to have acres. If we have the size of crop that we've got, there's definitely going to be acres to move around between corn and beans.
Yep, no doubt about it. Jeff, it's fun to talk with you, man. Thank you so much for making time.
Oh, you bet. Always enjoy the conversation.
Awesome. Jeff Peterson, Heartland Farm Partners. Okay, when AgriTalk comes back, Davis and I are going to put a wrap on of the week. We'll do that next.
There's danger.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Progressive knows when you own a boat or RV, it's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected, your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-616-9695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-616-9695. That's 800-616-9695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. Or forget extra diapers. and never give in to a meltdown. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face, never let them have too much screen time, and never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed, never ever become a minivan mom, and you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling. Boss, work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home. Run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com. That's FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com. Enter AgriTalk to save 50% on the price of admission. We're doing Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on the exact same day. I'm still trying to get my head around this. Yield Academy on the same day in the same place as the big crop tour wrap-up for this year. It's going to be quite the hootenanny, Chip.
Yeah, it sure should be. And it's going the Yield Academy, I think, is going to be fantastic. Machinery Pete, yeah. Casey Seymour talking about what's going on in the equipment market. Shea Folk with some business perspectives. Dan Bossy's going to be talking markets. And then you're going to have Ken Ferry, David Hula, and Randy Dowdy there talking about what it takes to grow big crops and big yields and how to do it as efficiently and as cost effectively as you can possibly do it. So August 21st, Rochester, Minnesota. Like you said, go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com for more information. And when you're there and you register to attend, be sure to use AgriTalk as the promo code, and you can get half off.
Whew. This just take a second with me. Just here, we'll just recenter a little bit. We've had a humongous week, dude.
Oh, yeah.
The guests that we've been privileged to speak to, we could bask in that, but we've still got work to do. I want to hear more about the cattle on feed report. I want to hear more about cold storage. Gimme, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, again, let's go over the cattle on feed report numbers again. Mm-hmm. I ran them myself. I thought, geez, that can't be right. I went and checked it against what they've got for the summary. You know, USDA on the summary sheet just says that placements were 8% below a year ago in June. The actual number is down 7.86%, but the trade was looking for a 2% decline.
Yeah,
that's a 2% decline. Yeah. USDA says cattle marketings were down 4%. But when you run the specific numbers, it's down 4.42% on the marketings. I don't think that's even bullish beef. Not just cattle. I think that would probably support this box beef market when we get things kicked off again next week. Trade was looking for a 3.6% decline. So the smaller than expected placements, smaller than expected marketings. Everything led to a smaller than expected inventory on July 1, down 1.59% from year ago. Trade was looking for down 0.8%. So it's quite the report.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Inventory report.
Mm-hmm.
Inventory report. On July 1, all cows and calves, 94.2 million head, down 1.9% from July 1 of 23, from 2 years ago. The trade was looking for down 1.9. Beef cow herd, down 1.21%. The trade was looking for down 2.2%. Okay? So not as big of a decline on the beef cow herd. The 25 calf crop, 1.38% below 2 years ago. Trade was looking for down 2.2%. Beef replacement heifers down 2.63%. Trade was looking for down 3%. And then the dairy cow number came in up 0.53%. Trade was looking for up 0.5%. So dairy cow number right in line. Some variability in how well the market or the trade did in anticipating the inventory numbers. But you gotta, it's a little negative. You know, with that beef cow herd down just 1.2%. Right. Trade was looking for it to be down 2.2. The calf crop down just 1.38%. Trade was looking for down 2.2. So I guess that might offset some of the bullishness in the cattle on feed report, but I still think the cattle on feed report wins. I'm just glad that we've got this July inventory report back.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't have it last year.
That's why we're comparing to 2 years ago.
Well, and does this, since we were so close to, call it 100 on that inventory report on some of those key metrics, is there an indication that maybe the worm is beginning to think about turning toward expansion, or do these numbers not necessarily tell us that?
The beef replacement number, beef heifer replacement number, like I said, the trade was looking for right at 3% decline, and it was down 2.63. So
it's not so much
starting to turn is probably the best way of talking about it. I mean, it's kind of like saying that the government budget went down, or we're spending less on SNAP. No, we're not. We're spending more, just not as much more as what some wanted. In this case, it's down, just not down as much. So maybe it's starting to turn, but boy, that's a bit of a stretch. I don't know if we can really call it a turn or not, dude.
Let me bring this up real quick from Jeff Peterson here. Yes, the heat has taken some yield off the top end, but that yield from wherever we started has been a moving target this whole time. And then, even if there are problems, any yield hit is coming off of already high yield expectations. Those two things combined. Why won't corn move? I think that may have something to do with it, brother.
It's got a lot to do with it.
He made great points.
That's great perspective right there. Well, and then get this. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook July 31st through August 4th calls for below normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt.
Woo-hoo!
We've got above normal precipitation expected in the Western Belt, including Western Iowa. 8 to 14-day below normal temperatures across the Corn Belt, near normal to above normal on the rainfall. Just absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, thank you so much for listening today. Come back on Monday morning. We are going to have a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. For Big Apple Joe Stackler, for Davis, I'm Chip Flory. This is AgriTalk.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from Pure Talk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking and the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Arizona, it's sentencing day for the so-called doomsday mother, Lori Daybell. She's already in prison for the murders of her children and her fifth husband's wife in Idaho.
Before the Arizona judge gave Lori Daybell two more life sentences on top